Hopefully the rest of the day will go okay. Let's start in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We read the chapter before this, so you can see what leads up to what we're about to read. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Jump to verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What I need this afternoon and what you need this afternoon is what the Bible speaks of in this first verse in Hebrews 11 is now faith. Now faith. See, yesterday I had faith. And many years ago when I got saved, I had faith. The first time that I read through the Bible, the last time I read through the Bible, I had faith. What I need is now faith. What I need is now faith. We all have some level of belief that things are going to get better in our life. Things will get better for our church. Things will get better for our nations. And if nothing else, we hope they at least won't get worse. One day we'll be in heaven and things will get better, no doubt. I know there will be in my future, or in my life, future days of faith. I'll have faith in my future days. But I need now faith. And what you need, brother, what you need, sister, unsaved friend, what you need now faith. Right now, you need faith in God. Whatever happened to you this morning, whatever will happen to you this evening, whatever you went through last night, whatever confusing or troubling word fell upon your ears in the past week, yesterday's faith won't cut it, won't be good enough. The faith that you had the day that you got saved, well, praise the Lord, that'll get you to heaven, but it will not get you through this, whatever this might be. And so God help us. God help us to develop. God help us to manifest a now faith. Right now. Right now, faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will help us to understand that we need to trust you every single step of our life, every single day, and not to be reliant upon faith that we used to have. Help us, Lord, to trust you in all that we do, in all that we endeavor to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you were probably taught this. Maybe you didn't go to journalism school, but maybe you were just taught this somewhere along the way in school. There are questions that you are supposed to ask if you're going to be a journalist. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? And the Bible asks these questions. Okay, who, what, when, where, why, and how? And in the Bible, it's a real interesting thing. I look in the Bible and the why, not real clear. The where, the what, not clear. The when, the how, really in doubt. That doesn't seem to help much, though, does it? Well, let me show you. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2. It's a tiny little book. Five books back from the end of your Old Testament. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, and look at verse number 13, starting at verse 13. "Behold, Is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? All right, just want you to see that. In verse number 3 of chapter number 1, back up to that chapter 1, Habakkuk chapter 1, start at verse number 2. Habakkuk 1, 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slackened, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. So do you know what the man said here? At the start of that third verse, he said, why? God, why? And you read chapter 1, there's no answer. He gets no answer. You read chapter 2, there's not an answer. You read chapter 3, there's not an answer. This man, he saw people laboring in the fire, he says, wearying themselves, and their lives were vanity. He saw violence, he saw contention, he saw iniquity, he saw spoiling, he saw judgment being corrupted, and he says, God, why? And he did not get an answer. Romans chapter 9, look there. Romans chapter 9. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, asking why. I have found is it's not a recipe for faith to ask why. Looking at what God allows, looking at what men do that is disapproved of by God, and lifting up my eyes to heaven and saying, God, why is this happening? God, why are you letting this happen? That doesn't fix it. But it sure causes me to get weak in the knees and struggle in my thoughts and my emotions. Look at Romans chapter 9 and verse number 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed, that's you, say to him that formed it, that's God, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? All right, so let's bring this thing down to the day in which you live, in which I live. Don't you think it's a mysterious thing that one person gets the sickness, highly contagious, body-wrecking sickness, and the wife that lies beside him doesn't get it? The man that walks through the living room in pain and struggling to breathe, and the children sitting in the living room say, Dad, can I get you something? And they're just fine? Isn't it a strange thing? Some people get cancer. And I don't mean any offense by this, but some of you might have smoked cigarettes for many years, and you're supposed to have cancer, and you don't. Some of you lived on junk food. You're supposed to have diabetes, and you don't. You know what the Bible said? All you're going to get from asking God why is silence. And all it's going to do when you start comparing your situation with somebody else's situation, and why did this happen to me and not to him, and why did such a good man die and such rotten men don't die? All you're going to get is weaken your faith. Because guess what? God isn't the one being judged by a man. God is not the one who answers to man. No, it's the other way around. And the Lord says, since when did you put me on trial? That's what people do. That's what they do, you know. I don't know why God let this happen to me. And then they get mad at God like God is the guilty party. And they're this perfectly innocent individual or something. And I'm good at finding fault with you. When something's wrong in my life, my first thought, after all these years of being saved and reading my Bible, my first thought is, why did God let that happen to me? I'm living a good life. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to serve God. And then the second thought is, you better shut your mouth, Bob. Do you think God owes you anything but hellfire? Salvation is still by grace. God's keeping is still by grace. If you get to thinking, this shouldn't happen to me because I've been a good person, I've been going to church, you better watch out. You better watch out. Anyway, here's all I want you to know. In this life, and probably in your life to come, you may never know why. That's why, you know, when I think about that song, further along, we'll know all about it. Really? Why would you know all about it? You think you're going to get to heaven and stand in line, and when it's your turn to stand before Jesus Christ, you're going to say, why did you let that happen to my daughter? Why did you let that happen to me? Why was I so sad? Why did I lose my job? That's not what you're going to heaven for. You're not going to heaven to make Jesus answer to you for not serving you better than you thought he should have. You're going to go to heaven and you are going to say, what in the world am I doing here? Let me get at his feet and worship him. People got this idea that this big gripe fest that they're having down here is going to continue up there in heaven, where they're going to really get to gripe. No, I don't think so. I think all of that stuff's going to stop. I think one glimpse of Jesus Christ with those nail-torn hands and those wounds in that face, and he's on that throne as a lamb that's been slain. I don't think it's going to be, what did God do to me? I think it's going to be, what did I do to God? So I don't, I don't know that we know why. Okay, look at Hebrews 11 again. Let's go back there. Hebrews 11. Different verse this time. Verse number 8. Hebrews 11, let's look at Abraham here. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Okay, not knowing whither he went. So here we have a man, he believes God, trusts God, obeys God, walks with God, and does exactly what God told him to do, and he didn't even know where he was going. He did not know where. Okay? That means he didn't know if he was any closer or any farther to where he was going, because he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know if he was making a beeline or just going around in circles all his life. And the Bible says in verse number 10, Hebrews 11:10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Okay, which means he never knew where it was. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. That man, Abraham, he lived his entire life looking for something, and he didn't even know where it was. And when he was on his deathbed, his loved ones said, did you ever find that city? And he said, not yet. Well, where is it, Grandpa? I don't know where it is. Well, Grandpa, you've lived your whole life looking for that city. What do you mean you don't know where it is? He says, I don't know where it is, but God's going to take me there. I couldn't get there walking. I couldn't find it on this earth. But if God promised me a city, that is where I'm going. But here's what I want you to see. He didn't know where. Habakkuk walked by faith, and he didn't know why. The Apostle Paul in Romans 9, he said he walked by faith, but he didn't know why. Abraham walked by faith, and he didn't know where. Look in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'm really glad I have the Bible, and I mean that. But it would be, you would think, it would be very advantageous if maybe just one Friday in my lifetime, Jesus himself made an appearance here in our church. And you say, yeah, that would be great. I wouldn't have to listen to a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a preacher. But if you knew Jesus himself was going to be here, and you said, man, I can ask him questions. I could get him to explain the Bible, and he could teach us directly. I mean, he's God manifest in the flesh. He's the Word manifest in the flesh. All right. Look here. The Bible says in chapter 13, John 13, verse number 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So there's Jesus looking face to face with Peter, face to face in his presence. There's Peter looking face to face with Jesus, and Peter says, Lord, what are you doing? And Jesus said, you don't know what I'm doing. And Jesus got some water, and Peter said, what are you doing with that water? And Jesus said, you don't know what I'm doing. And Jesus washed his feet. Peter said, what are you washing my feet for? Jesus said, you don't know what I'm doing. And Jesus dried Peter's feet. Peter said, what are you drying my feet for? And Jesus said, you don't know what I'm doing. And the fact of the matter is, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus stood like I'm standing here, and his disciples sat like you're sitting there, and he said, I am going to Jerusalem, I am going to be betrayed, I am going to be nailed to a cross, and I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise again. And every time he said it, his disciples scratched their head and said, what are you going to Jerusalem for? They hate you there. He said, Peter, look, I am going to be crucified. And you know what Peter did? Peter took him by the clothes and shook him and said, no, you're not. No, you're not. Which means you could have the Lord here, and he could open the floor. You could ask him any question you want to. And say, okay, well, we'll go till 9 o'clock tonight, and then I have to head to the next town. And by the time that day was over, you would not have any more understanding of what he was doing than when he started. Think about it. How can God explain himself to me? God, what does this mean? You read the Bible, you study the Bible, you search the Bible, and you think you got it just right. You get up and you preach it, and then six people are going to come and say, I don't think that's what it means. I think it means this. And I've known preachers who used to fight with other preachers and argue with other Christians, trying to get them to see things their way from the Bible. And you know what I think? I think everybody's crazy if they think that the way they understand God's Bible is the only way there is to understand it. Or if they think everything they see in the Bible is actually there. Look, I'm a man falling apart, wearing out. How can I expect to know what the I am is doing? how the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the ending is working in your life. I don't know what he's doing. And when I ask, he says, just read the Bible. Why would I speak something to you that I didn't say to everybody else? Don't add to my word. Don't take away from my word. Go read the Bible. It's a lamp to your feet. It's a light to your path. Do you know what we want? We want the full brightness of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, no, I'll give you a lamp to your feet. This is it right here. Okay, a lamp to your feet. And you know how far down the road you can see with a lamp? Did you ever think about that? You can't see very far holding that lamp. Okay, one step. That's now faith. Now faith. Not next week faith. Not next month faith. Not how are my kids going to turn out in the future faith. Not how's my career going to end faith. Not will I get the virus? And if I get the virus, what's going to happen to me, faith? You know what God gave you? He gave you enough for the next step, a lamp. Think about it, though. Here's a what if. What if God allowed you to see the day way out in your future when you were going to die? That's not a lamp to your feet. That's a searchlight way out in front of you. But what if you could see way out in your future? Well, thank God he doesn't do that. Because if you could see that future, that's all you would see. You'd be blind to everything else for the rest of your life. You know what you've got? You've got enough light to proceed forward, trusting the Lord to provide light for each step. It's going to light up just what is right in front of you. It's not going to light up your whole journey all at once. Lord, what are you doing? Look at John chapter 6. And verse number 2. John chapter 6. Verse 2, and a great multitude followed him. Just want you to see that. John 6, 2, a great multitude followed him. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So Philip said, I don't know. All the restaurants are closed and the shelves at the grocery store, they're a mess. Verse 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew, speaking of Jesus, he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. Okay, now, a penny in the Bible, that was a day's wage. So they had what amounted to about 10 months' wages. And he says, if I had 10 months' wages, I couldn't feed these people. That's a lot of money. Not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Peter said, I don't know what good this will do. This is all we got. I don't know what good it'll do. Do you know why they were upset and nervous and worried and confused? Because they didn't know what to do. But the verse said that Jesus knew what he would do. They didn't know what he would do, but he knew what he would do. The multitude didn't know what he would do. The disciples didn't know what he would do. That little boy with the lunch didn't know what he would do. But here's what the boy did say. Well, here's my lunch. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but here's my lunch. And Peter said, here's all the food we could round up. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but here it is. And Jesus said, tell everybody to sit down. And they all said, well, I don't know what good it's going to do to sit down. But they all sat down. You know what they did? They didn't demand to know what the Lord was going to do. They just did what he asked them to do. So in the Bible, people don't know why, and they don't know where, and they don't know what. Look at Matthew 24. Sorry if it sounds like I'm yelling. I've got a little competition back there. Matthew 24. Say, boy, I sure wish the Lord would come. Yeah, me too. Me too. I thought he was coming in 1991. I didn't preach that he was coming in 91. I just thought he was. And I thought he was coming in 92. I didn't make a declaration, just thought he was. 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98. I think he's coming today. And that's why he's not coming today. I'm the one that's ruining the rapture, because he said in verse 44 of this chapter right here, Matthew 24, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So if you want him to come today, everybody, you need to say, oh, I don't think he's coming today. No, not today. And then he'll come. But look here, Matthew 24, look at verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Okay? When? Now, wouldn't you, if Jesus was here, I guarantee you, if Jesus was here this afternoon taking questions, somebody would ask that one right there. Okay? Somebody would ask that, and here's what they'd do. They'd say, Lord Jesus, with all due respect, for years our pastor has told us that nobody knows the day or the hour, and that even you don't know the day or the hour, but, well, now you're here. Would you tell us when you're coming? Right? Now, do you know why somebody would ask that? Because they really, really, in their heart of hearts, do not think the Bible is the Word of God. They think if Jesus were here, that he would say something different than what is here. So you read the question. You read that question. You saw the question. Look at verse 36. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus said those words. They said, Lord, what are going to be the signs, and when is this going to happen? And Jesus said, well, here's the signs, and beats me. I don't know when. Well, yeah, but do you think it's kind of close, Lord? I don't know when. Yeah, but do you think we're almost there? I don't know when. Why do you keep asking me? Why do you keep buying books from people who say they know when? Why do you keep sending money to preachers who tell you that they know when? Jesus said, I don't know. No man knows. The angels don't know. Only the Father knows, and he's not telling. You know what? Do you know what I do? Well, when I'm well and our church is full and we're knocking on doors, we're passing out gospel tracts to the public, everything's going well, I say, man, just trust the Lord and praise God. Let's sing hallelujah. Isn't God good? And then you get hit by some wave of something like maybe a coronavirus, and you think, Lord, when is this going to be over? Lord, when is the tide going to turn? Lord, when is this season of oppression and sorrow? When's it going to stop? And the Lord says, I'm not telling you when. I want you to trust me now. I want you to trust me now. I don't want you to say, it's going to be better in 3 weeks. I'll start trusting God again in 3 weeks then. I need now faith. You know, let me say this without sounding callous or flippant or anything like that. When I'm not sick, I don't need faith. When we're adding rows of chairs because there's so many people, I don't need faith. When everybody's happy and everybody's singing and everything seems to be going our way, you know, I understand. You know, I do, but I don't realize my need for faith when everything's going all right. But when I don't know why, and I don't know where, and I don't know what, and I don't know when, that's when I need faith. And it turns out that's often when I find out that I really didn't have faith. I was just riding the good times. I had Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I had praise. Appreciate it, Lord. Thank you. But I wasn't really living by faith. I had a good job, and I had a good income. I had good health. The church was going well. Everybody was happy, and that's not faith. That's, man, this is great. Thank you, Lord. Keep it going. But when Abraham couldn't find the city, and Habakkuk couldn't get an answer to prayer, and Peter saw Jesus being beaten when he thought Jesus was going to set up the kingdom, and when the disciples wanted to know absolutely so that they could mark it on their calendar when the second coming was, and Jesus said, I don't have any idea, then what do you have to do? You have to trust God. You have to. Look at Luke chapter 1. In the Bible, men did not know why, and they did not know where, and they didn't know what, and they didn't know when. Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let's stop there just for a minute. We'll read more in a minute. The Roman Catholic Church, they have a Mary that is not the Mary of the Bible. And that's because they make too much of her. And in a reaction to that, the Bible-believing churches, they have a Mary that is not in the Bible, because what they do is they tend to downgrade Mary terribly. And both of those are wrong. Okay, I'll tell you why. Suppose you've got no New Testament, and you didn't grow up in a Bible-preaching church, and you never had a New Testament, and you're 16, 17 years old, maybe 18 years old, and you're just doing chores around the house one day, and an angel comes to you and says, here's what we're going to do. You are never going to so much as kiss a man, and you are going to become pregnant, and you're going to have a child, and that child is going to be the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh. And your answer would be, oh, okay. I don't think so. No, it wouldn't. You know what she just heard? The word of God. You know what she just heard? Prophecy from the Old Testament, ready to be fulfilled in the New Testament. You know what she just had? She just had a visit from a heavenly messenger, sent directly from the throne to tell her about the blessing that God was going to bestow upon her life. And verse 34 says, Then said Mary unto the angel, How? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You know what this woman said? This woman who was, out of all the women who ever lived, I mean, hey, don't be so anti-Catholic that you become anti-Mary now. Out of all the women who ever lived, God said, I can trust that woman to raise my son. I wouldn't ever, personally, myself, I wouldn't ever say a bad word about Mary. Not at all. I mean, that's the highest honor that God ever bestowed upon a woman right there. And he bestowed it upon that young woman, Mary. And she was not a cusser. She was not a rock and roller. She was not a floozy. She didn't dress loosely. She wasn't running around with one boy after another. People say, well, it doesn't matter how you live. Guess what? It mattered to God when he made this choice. Do you want God's fullest blessing? Get in line for it. Don't hope that it bounces off somebody in the right place and lands on you in the wrong place. You shouldn't be in the wrong place. Anyway, just a little preaching I thought I'd throw in there, but let's get back to this. Mary, hearing directly from the Lord by the mouth of an angel, there's something that would probably get a lot of you. You come to church, oh, that's just Brother Bob, that's just the way he sees it. I don't see it that way. Okay. But if you go home and there's somebody sitting in your living room, you're going to say, who are you? Oh, I'm an angel. Well, how do I know you're an angel? And he just flips some little button on his jacket and his halo shows up. And then he flips it again and it disappears, goes away. I don't know how she knew it was an angel. You know, I don't know how anybody knows they're talking to an angel, but they do somehow. You know, what does the angel do? Here's my papers proving I'm an angel. and you say, Lord, is this an angel? He says, yeah, it's an angel. Well, is it a good one or a bad one? Oh, that's a good one. You'd have more tendency to believe an angel than you would to believe your preacher, okay? And I'd tell you, but I'm showing you right here in the Bible. Yeah, but if an angel, and that's why God gives us a warning in Galatians chapter 1. If an angel came, you would be inclined to believe a false gospel from the lips of that angel, okay? And so we're warned about someone telling you they're an angel, giving you any kind of a message. But the point is, angels carry a lot of weight. People tend to believe them. But this angel, it's God's angel telling the truth. And he came to Mary and gave Mary a message received from God. And she said, I don't know how that can be. I don't know how. But it didn't stop her from believing God. It didn't stop her from trusting God. She didn't have to know how. She just had to know God. Look at John chapter 3. We're almost finished here. John chapter 3. And I'm sorry if I'm talking faster than usual. We don't have much time left. So, John chapter 3. Are you born again? Amen. Anybody here been born again? Say amen. Amen. Okay. Do you want to explain that? you can read me the verses probably, but I bet you can't explain it. You can tell me the factual doctrines from the scriptures. You can't explain it. But look here. Look, John chapter 3, verse number 3. Jesus, he's talking to a man named Nicodemus, religious man here. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily. In other words, this is the truth. You can count on it. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He said, Jesus, I don't understand how a man can be born again. Jesus said, that's okay. You just need to be born again. You don't think that's interesting? Now, here's what's even more interesting about it. That is what we just read. That is the crucial, very important passage in the New Testament for a lost person becoming a saved person. Isn't that right? Okay. Jesus said that, he said that, and it was written down almost 2,000 years ago. And there are theologians and doctors of divinity and ministers of every stripe and denomination who still can't come to an agreement on what those verses mean. Now, this afternoon, I'm not saying that for the sake of argument, you know, baptism versus not baptism, works versus grace. I'm telling you, to this day, after 2,000 years of the best theological minds studying the Scriptures, do you know what everybody says if they're honest? How can this thing be? How can a man be born when he is old? How can a sinner be born of the Spirit? How can somebody who's on their way to hell have their sins washed away by blood that was shed 2,000 years ago? You know what the Lord said? You'll wake up in hell trying to figure that out. I want you to exercise faith. Now here's my conclusion from the Bible. We may never know why. We may never know where. We may never know what. We may never know when. We may never know how. And if that's what you're looking for, you can't live by faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What we want, God, give me the evidence and then I'll believe. God said, no. If you believe, that belief will supply the evidence. Belief will supply the evidence. None of you understands how to get born again. And the moment you trusted Christ from your heart, you began to tell people, I've been born again. And you still can't explain it. but you have all the evidence you need to testify to the world that you have been born again. Now watch. Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I don't know why. You know, 35 years ago, if you had trained as a journalist, you were supposed to find out who, what, when, where, why, and how. And then you would report the facts. Now there doesn't even have to be a who, what, when, where, why, or how. You just make stuff up and you'll get a Pulitzer Prize. We are living in times, in a time of lies and liars on every hand. And you want answers? You're not going to get answers. Lord, why are you letting this happen? Well, now what's he going to do? You think God's going to stop everything he's doing to explain it to me? And then I report it to you? I wouldn't even get it right. So we don't know why, we don't know where, we don't know what, we don't know when, we don't know how. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom, I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you know what now faith is? At the funeral home, in the hospital, when we lose our job, when we're weeping over our children, troubled over over the state of our marriage, confused about your future, confused about or concerned about your church. Do you know what now faith is? I don't know why, and I don't know where, and I don't know how, and I don't know what, and I don't know when, but I know who. I know who. And this Bible says the only thing you'll ever know for sure is who. I don't know what Jesus is doing, but I know Jesus doeth all things well. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's never lied. And he said he's coming again. I don't know how he's going to get me through this, but he said if it was the very valley of the shadow of death itself, he would walk me through to the other side. I don't know where I'll be when all the dust is settled, but I know who will be standing at my side. So brother, sister, do you have now faith? Now faith? Now faith is not the is not in the answers that you want. That's not where you're going to find now faith. It's in the one who is the answer. It's Jesus. I don't know why one dies and one lives. I don't know why one stays employed and one gets laid off. I don't know why one family raises their children in a very questionable way and the children turn out great. And another family raises their children right by the book, and the children don't want anything to do with it. I have no answers for any of those things. But I know whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'll doubt everything I see, hear, touch, smell, taste, and handle as long as I can still breathe. And I'll wonder, what in this old world is going on? What is going on? But God helping me, I will never doubt that Jesus Christ has saved me, and that he will keep me, and that he will be everything I need, and that when I open my eyes one day, I'll be in his presence. If you don't know anything else, know who. Know who. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so easily shaken by things we don't understand. It troubles us all the time, Lord. We confuse ourselves. Father, would you help us right now and help us through every right nows of in our life to have faith in the one in whom we have believed. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a closing.